Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We pray that you will speak to our hearts this morning, that none of us will go out of here without being touched by the truth. Lord, we thank you that your spirit can convey truth to us, each of us in our different place, our different need, even through the same word. Father, we thank you, Lord. It's a broad spectrum antibiotic, Father. There's nothing like your word. It can cover every issue in our lives. And so I pray that you would just give us hearts to receive what your spirit would tell us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay, I'm going to read a very well-known passage of scripture. It's the third chapter of, the third chapter of John's Gospel, the beginning at the first verse. I'm not going to read that really. Third chapter 3. Okay. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man, he came to Jesus by night and he said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher from God, come from God. For no man can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." And Jesus answered and said to him, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but you cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. And so is everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus answered and said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered and said to him, "Are you the teacher of Israel and do not know these things? Most assuredly, I say to you, we speak what we know and we testify what we have seen, and you do not receive our witness. If I've told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended to heaven but he who came down from heaven, that is the Son of Man, who is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God." Amen. Hallelujah. What a passage of scripture that is. I think there's so much in there. We could spend every Sunday for the next year just taking it apart, but we're not going to do that. I'd say it's interesting about the people who do things in darkness, they don't want to come into the light. It's true, isn't it? You know, sometimes I've been known to hide the crisp packet underneath the rubbish in the bin so that wife doesn't know I've been eating crisps. She still seems to know, though. I think she probably goes through it. Do you pull it out? Do you have a look? Shucks. That's it. I knew I got it wrong. Okay. So what I need to do is keep some crisp packets hidden, and then when I take some out, thinking, well done, thank you. Do you know what? You've exposed one of your secrets to me there. No, but you know, look what's happened this week in Parliament. This guy mistakenly was looking for agricultural equipment and came across some porn. And he's resigned. And do you know what? This is the government's answer to that. We're going to have 50% women MPs. That's going to change everything. Everything's going to be great. We'll just have 50% women. That's the answer. And by the way, he said, I'm not proud of what I've done or I've done. Hang on a minute. I'm not proud of what you've done. No, you got it wrong here. I am ashamed of what I have done. Well, that's the 11th commandment, isn't it? Thou shalt not get caught. And it is, isn't it? That is the world's 11th commandment, isn't it? Except it's getting much more difficult not to be caught because of technology. You can't do. There was a case years ago, you probably remember because you've got memory for that sort of thing, but Southampton. It was a Southampton player that was done for match fixing, you know, rigging the match, and they got him with his telephone records. You remember what I'm talking about? You might know, no? No. It was a big case at the time, but it's many years ago. It's probably about 15, 20 years ago. But even then, they can trace you where you've been. So he said he was one place, but his phone was obviously somewhere different. Anybody more than about a yard from their phone at the moment? Oh, that's 20, 25 yards. That's pretty unusual. You know, who here, come on, be honest. Who here takes the telephone to the toilet with them? At least we've got some honest ones. The rest of you will be struck down by... Because it's not a telephone, is it? You don't go to the toilet with your telephone to use it as a telephone. You use it because you can be not wasting time. Anyway, sorry. But do you get the point? We can't get away with things anymore. I read last night that the government in America have mandated that all new cars from 2016 will have a kill... Sorry, 2026 will have a kill switch on them. Now, I think they've already had this in some cases. But basically, the police will be able to stop your car if you don't stop. Because they can electronically access the engine computer, the engine CPU, and they can stop your car. Right? Now, that's one use. Somebody's doing 100 miles an hour down the highway and they won't stop. That's quite a useful thing. And you can justify it on that basis. But maybe you are not actually welcome to go to certain places because you're not of the right social category. Your car won't let you go there. You can just see where it's going, can't you?
Hallelujah. I can't go into suburbs full of thin people.
Thin people?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that could be. That could be. Yeah, because you could upset them. Right. You know, if you eat too much food, this is what will happen.
Yeah.
Anyway, hallelujah. But things are happening. And so this man, he came to Jesus. And he came and started to flatter flatter Jesus. We know that you are sent from God, or God is with you. Because no man can do the things that you do unless God is with you. I wonder what he was expecting as a response from Jesus. Do you know, I love it. If you read through this, every time Jesus said something, Nicodemus was like, how can that be? Oh, he was completely wasn't at all sure-footed, was he? Everything he said, he was knocked off balance by. Jesus kept him that way because he wanted to take away his certainty, if you like. It's interesting, the name Nicodemus, right, means victorious among his people. Victorious among his people. And we read in the first verse that there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler. He was born to be a ruler. The parents gave him the name ruler, that he was victorious, that he was won over the people. So he had that name. He was given it as a child. Well, he was given. He might have changed his own name, I suppose. I don't know if they did that in those days. But his names, of course, were very symbolic. And I think there's this synergy here between, you know, you read there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus. Well, there was a man of the Pharisees named Victorious. Who was victorious, who was a ruler of the Jews. And I think it's good sometimes if you've got the ability with your, if we use Bibles on our phones or anything, we can always get Strong's Concordance. A lot of free software now, and you can actually type on the name and get the root meaning to it. And it's a useful exercise. It opens up things. You know, the word Nabal, for instance, in the Old Testament, it means churlish. And guess what? He was churlish. You know, and names quite often are symbolic. And of course, Jesus' name is a good example of that. Hallelujah. Let's talk about the Pharisees for a moment. Who are they? Who were they? Well, they were a sect. Okay. Believed that they came about after the exile, the Babylonian exile, and they came back and they started up. And they believed in the Torah, the first five books of the Bible, but they also added their own oral traditions. Reminds me of someone else. Where are we? Yes. There is a particular sect of the church that has the Bible, but also has the teachings of the oral traditions of these men with pointed hats. Okay? And they valued those either above or at least in the same. And I think, actually, the Catholic Church actually values the teachings of the Pope more highly than, or at least it did, I don't know if it still does, than the teachings of these infallible popes. Hallelujah. They engaged in observances. They engaged in rituals. They publicly prayed. They would stand out there and say, "I thank you that I'm not like this sinner." They wanted to receive praise from men. How it is, isn't it? When Neil and I got talking to a lady, I think I mentioned this a couple of weeks ago, and she said, "Well, I'll be down the Elam Centre tomorrow. I'll be doing my good works." I'll be doing whatever it was help. Feeding the poor. Feeding folks, yeah, that sort of thing. Which is good, but Jesus said, when you do your giving, do it in secret. And when you do it in secret, God will reward you openly. But if you receive praise from men, that's the end of it. Yeah, you can have praise from men if you want people to praise you, but they don't doesn't mean they think anything of you. They just do it because that's the, clappy, clappy, happy, clappy thing. And then when you do something wrong, bang, they will jump on your head from a great height. They also believed in what the Catholics would call purgatory. It was a temporary holding place in Hades where they suffered or were rewarded according to what they'd done in the body. This was the Pharisees. They believed this. They were self-righteous. But they were also very influential in the culture of their day. And also they believed in a Messiah. They believed there was a Messiah going to come. They believed in the concept of Messiah. But there they were, faced with the Messiah. He was there, and they rejected him. In fact, they didn't just reject him, they opposed him. Many times you read that they wanted to take him out because people were starting to believe in him, and that their whole livelihood, their whole existence was being threatened. So for this man to come to Jesus was actually, it's quite bold, isn't it? At least on the surface it says it was bold. He was one of their top men. He would have been lauded and honored by the other Pharisees. He wasn't a junior Pharisee, he was a senior Pharisee, and yet he was coming to Jesus. Now, we don't know why he came to Jesus initially. He had some questions. But we do know that he did come to believe in Jesus. Amen? And thank God for that. In fact, there was quite a few Pharisees who believed in Jesus. The Pharisees who believed in him, there was a division between them in Acts and so on. And of course, there was Joseph of Arimathea. And I mentioned this, I think, to my wife this week. I may have said this before, but, you know, Pontius Pilate gave him a bit of a hard time because Joseph of Arimathea wanted Jesus' body to put in his own tomb, which had never been used before. And Pilate said to him, "So this guy's a criminal. Why do you want to give him your unhewn tomb? Your freshly hewn tomb, a tomb, unused tomb. Tomb's hard. He said, difficult to get your tomb." And he said, "Well, I'm not giving it to him. I'm just lending it to him."
Amen. I like that.
Yeah, I like that as well. I can't confess it's original, but... I like it. But isn't that fantastic, folks? Isn't that an awesome concept that this man isn't giving Jesus his tomb, he's just lending it to him for a couple of nights? It's the first version of Airbnb. So nothing's new under the sun. Hallelujah. Okay. His intro to Jesus, interesting. You know that you are a teacher come from God. Why? Because of the works that Jesus did. They could only happen if that person was of God. Did you think he came to Jesus to try and get Jesus to persuade him to join them? Because that's one of the stratagems of the devil, you know. If he can't take you out, he'll invite you in. I like that. Do you like that? If he can't take you out, he'll invite you in. Copyright John Holm, 2022. But seriously, if he can't take you out, he'll invite you in. That's what's happened over the years with a lot of Christian organizations. They've merged, they've formed unholy alliances, and as a result, they've lost their anointing. They might merge with a bigger organization that promises them, you know, you'll have the resources that we've got available to you. But that's not their heart. What they want to do is they want to subsume them in and take the power away. Was it to try and persuade Jesus to keep quiet and stop upsetting the status quo? Or maybe, and I'm not saying this was, because obviously how it turned out was different. Maybe he wanted to bribe him. Maybe he'd been told he could bribe him. Money works, money pays all the time. We don't know what his motive was, but we do know he might have come by night to protect himself, be seen fraternizing with the enemy. Hallelujah. Or it could be that he was sent so that the rest of the population wouldn't know that this person who they were continuously trying to have arrested, killed, or silenced, perhaps this they could shut him up. They could corrupt him, like so many people are corrupt. And as we know, nothing's changed today. It's the same. It's just that necessarily get caught. If you don't get caught, then that's okay. Don't get caught. But what the Lord did was he pulled the rug from under Nicodemus's feet several times. Every time he regained his balance, he pulled it away a bit more. And Nicodemus was very, very much uncertain about what was happening. There you are, a man who's a leader of Israel. You're a teacher in Israel, and you don't know what I'm talking about. I'm only talking to you about basic things. I'm talking to you about earthly things, and you don't understand me. Does it seem particularly earthly to think about being born again? But it is. I saw on a news item or something recently that they've now discovered meteorites have got DNA on them. Wow. You heard about this? And these meteorites, they come out of the sky and they fall to the earth, and they've got the materials. Sorry, no, not they've got DNA. They've got the materials required for DNA. Right, it is a big difference. Sorry, that was wrong there. Well, the materials required for DNA actually are carbon, oxygen, potassium or phosphorus. They're nucleotides. They're very simple. The actual, the elements involved. And so from that, then of course making them into amino acids and making them into proteins is a different matter entirely, like trillions of times more complex than just having atoms. You know, that's like throwing up all the letters of the alphabet and how many times and expecting to fall and form Shakespeare, as that's the one that's commonly used for the Bible. It's just ludicrously ridiculous. But they're now back to this panspermia idea that the Earth was seeded with the DNA from outer space, and that's how we evolved in the way we are. Well, as ridiculous as that is, and it is ridiculous, I mean, totally ridiculous to think that could happen. Oh, we can add in a few billions to that year, so that makes it less ridiculous, apparently. But so what? Where did the sperm come from that came from the earth? Who made this? Where did that come from?
And why did it choose to evolve? It hasn't got a brain.
Yeah, why didn't it die off halfway through?
Exactly.
Or one billionth of the way through, or anything else. It is a ludicrous, devilish lie. And yet people, they they either believe it or they don't believe it, but they can't be bothered to go anywhere else. But, you know, people are asking questions. Where did life come from? Because that is the big conundrum. Now they've got this David Webb telescope out there that is incredible, if it's real, but it could be a hoax. But if it's real, this thing is out there, right? Is incredibly sophisticated, the way they've made this, all these motors that within a thousandth of a width of a hair, line themselves up to form this 16 foot mirror that all folds up and then gets 1.2 million miles away and all opens up. It's remarkable. It just shows that God created us in his image. This is what fallen man can do. Imagine what we could do if we were walking with God. Woe unto you. This is the, go back a second. The Pharisees, one of the things that they did was they put burdens on people that they were unable to bear, and they didn't lift a finger. And of course, they had money. They were the wealthy part of the, and they used to tithe. They used to tithe on their income. But they didn't just tithe on their income. They tithed on their herbs. I mean, how ridiculous is this? Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin. There's no chilies mentioned there. And have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought you to have done, and not to leave the other undone. That's very interesting, isn't it? Not to leave the other undone. So does that mean that we should give tithes of anise and cumin and mint? That's for another time. So what Jesus then talked about to him is he talked about being born again. And this is, and I'm only going to speak for a little while on this because we're going to watch a video like we did last week, but this time of Nicodemus with Jesus. Obviously the portrayal of what we saw from the, what's it called? The Chosen. The one with Nicodemus?
Yeah.
Did you really?
No, not yet.
Wow. Praise the Lord. So Jesus said you must be born again. And this really is something which we really should understand as believers. Okay, folks. But I do think that it's a challenge for people because the real proof of whether we understand what it means to be born again is that we know that we are new creations. Okay? Jesus didn't say you've got to be patched up. He didn't say you've got to go in for maintenance, for a refit. He says you must be born again. Something has to change so radically that it fits you, it makes you ready, makes us ready for the kingdom of heaven or kingdom of God. A dog is a dog is a dog, right? You got a dog, it goes wow, wow, wow. When you walk in the house, it'll wag its tail, it'll bow wow. It doesn't go meow. It probably will never go meow unless it gets some sort of brain problem. Because dogs don't go meow. They go bow wow. Cats chase mice, plural mice, maybe. They chase them because it's their instinct to do it. Their nature is to chase the mice. If a cat didn't chase a mouse, it wouldn't be a cat, unless it, well, boring fat cat that can't get out of his thing. But you know what I mean. It's natural to do that, because that is the nature of the beast. It is natural for an MP to get his phone out in the House of Parliament and look at porn. It's natural.
Yeah.
It is natural to sin if you are a sinner. You don't have to think, I must go to sinner training classes. Your children didn't teach you to sin. Sorry, your parents didn't teach you to sin when you were a child. They didn't sit down with you one day and say, now today I'm going to teach you how to throw a tantrum. Ready? And they start copying what the parents say. You don't do that, right? But they know it. And they know how to manipulate you. Very, very successfully. What proof do we need that we're born sinners? We love them, but that's not the point. They are sinners. We're sinners. We were born sinners. I say we. I'm using the collective terminology talking about people who are born for the first time. So Jesus turned round to Nicodemus and said that something has to change. So there's something on the inside. I've lost my voice singing those hymns earlier on. It's my own fault. They were quite high, weren't they? But something changes. But something genuinely changes when we believe in Jesus or on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, it's not always obvious on the outside. Sorry to keep you waiting. I'm delaying you. It may not seem obvious on the outside straight away. But it will work its way through. But we've got to take what Jesus said seriously. You must be born again. Something has to change. The death of the old person. You know, there's that song, "Nothing chills the heart of man like passing through death's gate. To him who enters daily, death's a glorious fate." Dearly beloved, we are gathered here to be a holy bride and to daily cross death's threshold to the holy life inside. Right, and then the second verse is, I remember this one, it's, "The conflict still continues, raging deep within my soul. My spirit wars against my flesh in a struggle for control. My only hope is full surrender." Surrender to what? Surrender to what? Yes, but specifically surrender to his word that tells us that we are new creations. Paul says it in Corinthians. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have gone. Behold, all things have become new. All things are of God who hath reconciled us to himself and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. And we must believe that and accept it. Because what happens otherwise is we end up going through this, and I liked what he said on that video this morning, that audio that we heard this morning. He talked, the guy who spoke, he talked about going around in circles. But he said you go around in circles, they're actually spirals, and they're spiraling downwards. And the problem is that if you don't get a hold of this truth, as you keep trying and failing and trying and failing, and you eventually give up because you think, I'm not good enough, I can't do it. But if you actually believe what God's word says, that you are a new creation, then you never put yourself under condemnation. It doesn't mean that your flesh doesn't sometimes get the mastery of us. Yes, it does. But so what? We're told what to do. If we walk in the Spirit, then we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. It doesn't. The Bible doesn't. Paul didn't say to the church in Ephesus, don't fulfill the flesh, and then you will walk in the Spirit. He didn't say that. He didn't say we've got to try and stop walking in the flesh. He says, all you're going to do is walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So the responsibility that we have is to walk in the Spirit. And how do we walk in the Spirit? Well, we walk in the Spirit, first of all, by taking what God says about us in his word, believing it and walking and accepting it as truth. And once we get to that point, we start to get victory. We don't worry. Now, of course, when you start to do that, folks, when I start to do that, Satan, the religious Satan, will come and he will try and put you in all kinds of bondage to traditions, to rituals, the Pharisaical stuff. You'll start to judge other people if they don't come up to your standards and do all the things that you do. That makes you a Pharisee. Because don't forget, the crisp packet is hidden in the bin. Everybody's got crisp packets hidden in the bin. The thing is, the Holy Spirit, a.k.a. Anne, in this case, she counts how many crisp packets there are. Clever one. I wouldn't go that far. But folks, this is good news. This is good news. You've been hiding
the crisp packets for nothing.
I have. It's true, for nothing. That's why we have wives, praise God. They're there for our benefit and other things. But this is good news, folks. And I think Jesus, I think Nicodemus got a hold of this eventually. He got a hold of it and he said, wow, this is good, isn't it? I don't have to strive anymore. I don't have to try and be anything. I'm already what God wants me to. I had a discussion with somebody called Neil this morning. You might know him. And Neil and I sort of about being righteous. We need to be righteous. And I said, no, we don't. We are righteous. We are righteous, brothers and sisters. We are in a right relationship with God through Jesus. It all points back to Jesus, but it's through Jesus we are right. And if you don't think that's the case, then you're a Pharisee. Because you will still think that you in some way can earn that righteousness. It's impossible to pay for it. There isn't enough gold in the universe. It is a gift of God. And you can't pay for it. Hallelujah. Okay. My voice is going here a bit. Anyway, so what we're going to do is we're going to watch the video. And I hope what this video does is it just gives you something to, you know, the thing I do think I like about films is that they do rob your imagination in one sense, because they do the thinking for you. You read a book, you have to think what you're reading. You watch a film, it does the thinking for you, it portrays it. But I think sometimes we can actually use things like this to get our mind to go off and do that. Meditate on these things, not just on the film, but on what the Word of God is saying. And this is obviously this person's understanding, and I think it's very, very good. So just give me 30 seconds, and I'll hopefully get that working.